Good morning. Good morning. Well, thank you, Keegan. We're in a new series that we started last week that I'm calling On Mission. And here's what I said last week, that God wants to take what happens to you in order to accomplish His work in you so that He can fulfill His purpose through you. I said, I was talking about what happens to you, right? Good or bad. Blessings and struggles, whatever happens to you, He wants to take that and accomplish His work in you so that He can fulfill His mission through you. And the mission here at The Rock is to love and to lead others into a growing relationship with The Rock, Jesus Christ. And as I said last week, we do that in two different ways. We do that first by obeying the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor in that same kind of way, to love God and to love people. And second, we do it by living out His great commission. Matthew 28 says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And I said last week, the bookends of that passage is all authority, that Jesus has all authority given by God to command us and commission us to be on mission for Him. And then He says, "And He will be with us," at the other side of that passage. And so without either one of those two things, everything else falls apart. The command to make disciples goes by the wayside. We need His presence with us, empowering us to live out His mission that He's calling us to go and make disciples. Not with just people that are close by or that we are comfortable with or those that are like us, but to go to all people and make disciples. That's what we want to be about, to be a church, a people that are on mission making disciples for Jesus Christ. We said last week, though, but before God can fulfill His purpose through us, we have to ask the question, God, what do you want to do in me? And it's my prayer that you prayed that throughout your week. God, what do you want to do in me? What do you need to do in me? Because I said last week, sometimes we try to skip the end part and go straight to the through part, right? We love the harvest, but the seed work sometimes is tough, and it really feels like work. But God is calling us to be on mission for Him, and that's only half the story. The work He's doing in your life right now is preparing you for the mission that He has for you. So God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in me? And so I need to make some retractions from last, sometimes you say things in sermons and, you just need to retract them, all right? Happens sometimes. You want to make sure that you are saying exactly what you need to be saying. And so let me just encourage you this way this week. Do not go and Google weed seeds, all right? Just don't Google weed seeds. Some of you did, and some of you sent that stuff to me, all right? That's not what I was talking about. Yeah, I was talking about the weeds that we begin to plant in our lives that will kind of just suck the spiritual growth out of us, right? We'll just do that in us. So don't do that. Don't Google. I don't even know what that is, but don't Google it. The other thing is, maybe don't try the sideways toaster thing, all right? I mean, come on. How many of you tried it this week? Good. Because I had some people say, money, the cheese is going to melt and it's going to ruin your toaster, so I might have to buy some toasters this week. So don't do that. No, all right, that's probably not the greatest idea. Although it works, it's not the greatest idea. Put two pieces of bread over that cheese so that it doesn't, no. I said, one of the things I want to kind of say again this morning from last week's message is, a seed that is planted in the good soil, it will bear a harvest, right? It's the way it was made. God is the creator of the seed, and as I said last week, He has hardwired harvest into the seeds. So when the seed gets planted into the ground and the conditions are right and the soil is good, the seed grows. It just does, right? It's what happens. God has hardwired harvest into the seed. It's how it works. And what is true of seed-bearing plants is true of the Word of God. He made it. He spoke power into it. And so when the Word of God gets planted and the soil is good and the conditions are right, life comes from it. It just does. Harvest is hardwired into the Word of God. And I think sometimes we forget the power for growth that comes from God's Word. Yeah, it's supernatural. That's the way God made it. He made His Word for harvest. For harvest. And if the conditions are right, and the soil of your heart is good, it will bring forth a harvest. We must understand that, and we must begin to pay attention to the soil and to the condition of our hearts. Because God's Word is being planted into our lives all the time. It's being planted even right now. And if the soil is right, harvest will come. And so this morning, my prayer that I want you to pray all week and begin to ask God for all week is, you know, not only, God, what do you need to work in me, but now to begin to pray, God, what do you want to do through me? God, you know, I've done some seed work in my life and my relationships, and God, I just want to be prepared to be on mission. What do you want to do through me, God? What do you want to do through us as your church? God, what do you want to do through me? To help us with that this morning, we're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 9, and we'll look at verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9. It says this: Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." Jesus says, the harvest is great. You know, it's happening. It's great. In John chapter 4, he tells his disciples, don't you have a saying, you know, like this, that it's still 4 months until harvest? And Jesus tells them, I tell you to open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And that's what he's saying to us, to look up and begin to see the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And he's looking for those of us who will be willing to serve and to bring in the harvest. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So I want to encourage you this morning to begin to recognize the harvest where God has called you to. In your workplace, on your campus, in your neighborhood, in your family. God has put you in a field and the harvest is taking place around you. My challenge is for us and for you to be a part of that harvest. To be a part of that harvest. To be used by God in the harvest. And I also need to say, and I want to say to some of you, that there are some of you that God is calling to work full time into the harvest field. To give your life to ministry, to missions. To be obedient to whatever God is calling you to be, and to go wherever God is calling you to go, to get to that place in your walk and your relationship with Him where you can just say, "Here am I, God, send me." And some of you have been thinking about that and praying about that. And God is working in you to do something through you in full-time Christian service. So as we go through this message this morning, I want you to be praying about that. I want you to be leaning in to God, and I want us all to be praying that the Holy Spirit will begin and will continue to do His stirring in some of you to do that and to say yes to that call. So what does it look like for us to be working, for God to be working through us, be working through you? What does that really look like? And I'm just going to want to walk down this passage. The first thing I would say, these are just very practical steps, very practical ways to make sure that you're ready for God to work through you. The first is this, just to get involved. Verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, And that's amazing to me. It's an amazing vision that he has for me, because everywhere he's going, you know, everybody's going off in the wrong directions. And you would just think that he would look at all that and think, wow, this is kind of hopeless. It's kind of hopeless. It's overwhelming. But Jesus didn't. He took action. He got involved, and he began to prepare his disciples to send them out into the harvest field. So get involved. Get involved in this church. Get involved in the ministries that we have here, the opportunities we have to serve in this, in our community and around the world. Get involved so that you can begin to discover God's mission for your life. Second, just do what you know to do. All right, just do what you know to do. Verse 35, he says, teaching in the synagogues. It says he went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Just do what you know to do. I think sometimes we wait for God to give us this miraculous sign. Sometimes he does that, but most of the time he's not. I mean, you know, we kind of wait for that invisible finger on the foggy bathroom mirror, right? Just do what you know to do. Start there. Find ways to reach out in your neighborhood. To your neighbor. Find ways to make a difference for God in your workplace, on your campus. Serve in our community. Serve through our points of passions, Parker Street and Florida Baptist Children's Home and Lighthouse and Woman's Choice. Volunteer here at the Rock. Rock babies. You know? Lead children's church so that parents can be in here leaning into God's Word. Teach children or students God's Word. Begin to just look for opportunities to teach His Word to children and students. Be on our security team so that all of us can feel safe, that we can come in here every week and just make sure that we're totally focused on what God's sharing into our hearts. Be a greeter. You know, stand out there and greet everybody. Let them know that you're happy and so excited that they're here to worship today. Do what you know to do. Do what you can do. I love Billy Graham's testimony. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but he says that he got saved because an usher helped him find a seat. He came to a church service one day, and it was just packed, and he walked in there, and he looked, and he couldn't, and he starts walking out, and this usher grabs him, and he says, "No, come on, son," and he let him down and found a seat for him. Billy Graham says, that's what God used my life to begin to allow me to hear the good news. God has something for you that if you did it, you would experience tremendous fulfillment and would impact another person's life for eternity. And the third thing is, I think, one of the most important things that we can do to allow God to begin to work through us is to begin to see people like Jesus sees people. Verse 36, he says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I've shared with you many, many times the Greek word for compassion. There's actually several words for the Greek words for the word that we use for compassion. But this is the strongest one. The one that's used here is the strongest one. It's splagnesomai. Splagnesomai. And it means to have the bowels yearn, to feel deep sympathy, to be moved to action. I mean, it sounds like every time, you know, when I was in Hebrew class and in Greek class and we would say this word, it was kind of like, you know, say it with this guttural feeling, like sticking your finger down your throat, splagnesomai. And that's what it sounds like to me. Every time I can't get that picture out of my mind, the professor saying, just, you know, it's like, splagnesomai. And so it's been one of the words that God has used in my life, because I think our professor was telling me, because that's what it sounds like, right? And that's where the word comes from. It means this churning in your gut, that unsettling feeling that says, I've got to do something about this. It's that churning in your gut when you see hungry children that need to be fed, or when you see orphans. Churning in your gut when you see homeless people, when you see someone that's maybe just left out of, you know, time and left out all the time and made fun of at school. It's the kind of thing that gets from your gut to your hands and to your feet and even to your pocketbook, and you risk it. That's what compassion is. It's inward aching for someone in need. So much so that it moves us and drives us and compels us to action. that you ache so much on the inside that you're moved to action. And if we want God to work through us, we need to begin to say, God, please help me to see people the way you see people. Give me your eyes and let me see that I am surrounded by a harvest, by a harvest. And I get it. It's not easy to pray that. It's not easy to pray that when you don't like some of your coworkers, right? It's not easy to pray that when you know some, you don't care too much for some of your classmates, or you're annoyed by your neighbors. Or if we're honest, you know, we got some family members coming into town for Thanksgiving that we're not so excited about, right? And it's hard. It's hard to have that splenismi, that compassion for people and what's going on in their lives, so much so that not only do we just care, but it moves us to action. It moves us to action. And I'll be honest with you, you know, when you're in ministry, sometimes it's difficult. And there's a saying that said, ministry would be awesome. Let me just say this for you guys that are praying about God going in full-time ministry. We always talk about ministry is awesome if it wasn't for the people, right? If it just wasn't for the people. And we don't believe that, but you know, there's that struggle sometimes, because I go out into the community, to the grocery store, or to the restaurant, and everywhere I go, there you are, right? There you are. And sometimes I find myself trying to avoid, and I begin to realize I'm doing that. And if I'm not careful, that kind of spirit, that kind of stuff going on inside of me will turn to ignoring people. And that's not good, right? Especially if that's what God's called you to do, is to be in people's lives. It's not good. It's not good. I can remember once being asked to speak to this group, and I really didn't want to, but I felt like I should, and so I went, and I got there, and my attitude wasn't right, and I spoke, and they were so gracious and so kind. I said, "We want to pray. Let's pray, gather them. Let's pray for Monty." And I was like, "Here we go." And so I grabbed the hands. We're grabbing the hands. I got sweaty palm hand next to me. All that kind of stuff going on. They said, "Monty, won't you lead us in our prayer?" And I went, I don't know if I did, but I think I even rolled my eyes. That's not good for a pastor to roll, right? It's not good. And I walked out of that time, and God began to convict me, and I knew there needed to be some work done in me if I was going to expect God to ever want to do something through me. And so I just pray, and I just ask God to change my heart. Work in me, God, so that you can work through me. Jesus, let me begin to see people the way you see them. He had compassion on them. And then fourth, to begin to understand the reality of the human condition. If we're really going to be able to be used by God, we've got to begin, as we see people and we have compassion on them, to begin to understand the reality of the human condition. It says, because they were confused. He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And I just love that he doesn't get mad. He doesn't judge them. He has compassion for them. He begins to recognize that there's a group of people that are confused and hurting and helpless. And those are opportunity for harvest. When someone is confused, it's an opportunity to speak truth in their lives, to give clarity to them through God's word. When you begin to see people that are hurting or helpless, that they can't fix things on their own, that they're broken and don't know what to do, it's an opportunity for harvest. Opportunity to share the presence and the love of Jesus. Jesus looks out to the crowd and he sees that people are confused and helpless. And I look out at you, this crowd right here, I look out at you, and most of you don't look like you're confused and helpless. Most of you don't, right? But you are. We are. A lot of times we put on our best face. We only want to show people. We only want people to see. We only want to show them what we want them to see. And so, on social media, we do that. But But we need to get to that place where we say, oh God, Jesus, would you let me see people the way you see people? Begin to recognize when people are confused and helpless and hurting. And oh, Jesus, let us be a part of fulfilling your mission in their lives. Because what will happen a lot of times is that we'll just get caught up in our own lives and in the busyness of life, and we'll see something, and you know, there'll be care there, right? There'll be, you know, we'll care about it. We know that there needs to be something done, but we'll just kind of take a bystander effect, right? We kind of just stand off to the side and not do anything. It's really becoming kind of popular where you see some kind of accident or something go on, and then you just kind of sit there and take pictures, but you don't actually do anything. Don't actually do anything. We see a need, and we don't think of ourselves as a responder, but instead we are just a bystander taking pictures. I mean, it bothers us. We care, but we're not going to do anything about it. I mean, we think, you know, to be honest, we think that someone else will do something. We think that someone else will reach out. Someone else will share Jesus with them. But the problem is all of us begin to think that way and nothing happens. I'm sure that we get that the harvest is great. But when we look out into the crowds, it seems overwhelming. It just seems overwhelming to us. And we begin to say, you know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I don't know the Bible well enough. I'm sure someone else will do something. And the problem is a lot of us are assuming the same thing. Someone else will go on the mission trip. Someone else will preach. Someone else will volunteer. Someone else will teach. Someone else will lead. Someone else will reach the next generation. Someone else will write the next great worship songs. Someone else will give. Someone else will adopt or foster the children. Someone else will care for the sick or the poor or the fatherless. Someone else will do that. You know, listen, honey, I see it and I care, but I don't have time and I don't have the money or the gifts. Somebody else will do something about it. I'm unqualified. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not resourced enough. I'm not connected enough. And I get that. And that's why church and the body of believers is so important, because we can come alongside one another and help each other in that mission and on that mission. We don't have to do it all of ourselves. We can do it together. And so I want to encourage you, we are reorganizing our mission team here at The Rock. We're calling it The Rock Reach Team. Rock, reaching our community with kindness. And our community is our local community, our regional community, our global community. We want to reach them with God's kindness and His goodness and His good news. And so I want you to make sure that you are looking for these Rock Reach opportunities as they come to us over this next year, so that we can together step into the harvest field and help to love and to lead and to grow other people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't allow, you know, the fear of that to get in the way. Because I think there's a tendency for us to do that, to think, you know, what can I do? And there's this fear there, and there's, you know, we're afraid to get involved, and things are messy usually, right? And, you know, Monty, you don't know what I've done in my life, and I've kind of disqualified myself from really being used by God. Listen, Matthew 9 begins with the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. You can't get much lower in that day on the sin rung than a tax collector. The Romans hated them. The Jewish people hated them. They were notorious sinners, right? And Jesus comes along and says, hey, Matthew, follow me. Be on mission with me. And so he calls each one of us to that. And so don't just be a bystander, but get involved. Do what you know to do. Begin to ask God to help you see others the way He sees them. I don't know if you've seen this picture here. It's a picture that was taken by the great photographer Kevin Carter. And this was a photograph of the Sudan famine that was going on in those days. And it said that as he was setting up for this shot, that he waited for over 20 minutes for the buzzard there that's kind of waiting for the child that's trying to get to a food area, waiting for the child to die. He was kind of waiting for the buzzard to spread its wings so the picture would have been better, but it didn't happen, so he just kind of took this shot right here. And after he took that shot, he went on to the next place that he was going to be shooting. And people began to see this picture. It went, you know, viral. They began to see it, and they said, "Oh my goodness, it's an unbelievable picture." And then all of a sudden, it kind of turns, and they begin to ask, "What about the child in this picture? You know, what happened to the child?" And so Kevin Carter began to get those questions. You know, what happened to the child? What did you do for the child? And he said, "Well, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything." And he really got, you know, people began to really throw hate at him and really just rip him apart for not doing anything. You know, and he came out and said, "You know what? You know, it's overwhelming. This is everywhere. You guys don't get it, right?" And he went on to win a Pulitzer for that photo, for that picture. And then he went back home right after that and took his own life. You know, do something. It's one person, right? But do something. And here's what's crazy about it. Millions of people saw that photograph and did nothing. And did nothing. I mean, it's easy to look at other people and say, "Why don't you do something?" And God says, "Monty, why don't you do something? Why don't you do something?" I mean, the harvest is plentiful, but my workers, they are few. And we're called to do something. It's a command to go and make disciples and share the good news and be the love of Jesus and step into relationship with people, no matter how messy it is. And then the final thing is this, is to pray. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray," and I love this, "so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers into his fields." To pray. For us to begin to pray that God would begin to let us see people the way that he sees people. To pray that we would begin to be compelled by the hurt and the hopelessness and the confusion around us so much that we will step into relationships with other people. Begin to love and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't want to be your motivation, okay? I don't want to be, you know, I don't want my passion to be the motivation. I need you to fall in love with your God and then get connected to his heart through prayer. Through prayer. Begin to pray, "God, what do you need to do in me? Oh God, what do you want to do through me? God, help me to be compelled by your great love for me. What do you want me to do?" Pray. Pray that we will begin to make a difference in this city for God. Pray for, you know, our 5 points of passions, our local ministries that we come alongside. You know, pray for them and ask God to give you opportunities to serve in, you know, there and serve on the mission field. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. "God, use me. Use me to be on mission for you." Pray that he would give you the courage just to go. To go into the marketplace, into your workplace, into your campus, into your neighborhood with the good news of Jesus Christ. Begin to participate and share his love and go on mission trips. Romans 10:15 says that, "How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." Pray, "God, let me see people the way you see them. Begin to use me. I'm willing to go into the harvest field, God." And let's just pray, "God, use us to send others Use us to send others. I mean, when people come to us and want us to be a part of the mission that God has called them on, you know, and we give, you know, some financial resource to them so that they can do that, we ought to be so excited about that. We ought to be lining up to help them because we get to be a part of what they're doing on the mission field. Yeah, we ought not to be waiting for them to send us a thank you card. We ought to send them a thank you card and say, thank you for allowing me to be a part. To be a church that is committed to sending others and preparing others to go. Someone said that churches ought to be known for our, not just for our sitting capacity, but we ought to be known for our sending capacity. Begin to pray, God, help us, give us opportunity to send others, to help others get to that place where they are prepared to go on mission for you. Pray, God, help me to be willing to give my life away, to invest my talents, my time, my resources, my influence, God, to make an eternal difference for you, for the kingdom of God. Jesus looks out at these people and he says to his followers, listen, the field is ripe for harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers. Pray that we might be a part of the completion of the great commission of going and making disciples. And I get it. It can be overwhelming, right? It can be overwhelming, but it starts really one person at a time. Just one person at a time. Where somebody who knows Jesus gets to know, love, and care for someone who doesn't know Jesus. And then begins to help them take the next steps. It's being willing to go through the pain and sometimes being rejected. Sometimes entering into relationships and praying for them and being there with them. And the process seems to take a long time. It's, you know, not worried about somebody saying no. And it's a willing heart that will persist without getting frustrated. Because you know God is in control. He's the one who carries the burden. It all starts with God raising up people who have hearts and compassion for the people around them. And God has blessed our church in very unique ways and is calling us to a future. And I believe with all my heart that He is at work, and I believe that what's happening in our church, or even right now, day by day and heart by heart, is not a human-powered kind of thing. We're just watching God at work, watching Him begin to prepare the soil to do a new thing, to a new level of His Spirit of repentance, of transformation, of nothing less than becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So that every person in our area will know that there is a place where they value and celebrate you and need you. A place where you can love God and be loved. A place called the Rock. So that young families in this area right now, living beneath the veneer of, I got it all together, but who are really being torn apart by the pressure, by mortgages, by jobs, by having to appear as if everything is okay, by hurry, by conflict, that it's just a little bit beneath the surface, right? And that they will know that there is a church that is committed to building families up and not tearing them down. A place where people who are crushed by secrets, by shame or addiction or abuse, by the torment of divorce, by the searing pain of grief and loss, will know that there's a safe place where they can come and be open and be transparent. A place that is committed to loving God and loving people and making disciples. And it becomes such a reality in our lives that it begins to change the community around us. It's His call to be on mission. Allowing Him to work in you, doing some seed work, preparing your soil, and then allowing the harvest to begin to work through you, calling you to be a part of the harvest work. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Monty, I really would give anything to have something that would motivate me that much. That when I look out into the crowds of my life and the people that God has placed me in, that I would begin to see them as God sees them, as Jesus sees them. And I would have compassion on them, and so much so that I would want to get involved. You know, I wish there was something that would motivate me that much. Well, let me just say there is. And it's this. It's what we come to this morning, to the table, to be reminded and to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the cross. That ought to compel you enough. When you get that, when you get here and you begin to understand what this is all about, and we come to this table and we remember and we get it, we really get it, that will compel you to want to step out, begin to live out your life on mission for Him. That's His call. And so this morning we're going to come to this table to be reminded of the love and the sacrifice. Be reminded of how Jesus came and lived and died on a cross, was shed His blood, and rose again so that you and I could be forgiven, so that you and I could be redeemed, so that you and I could be ready and able to be on mission for Him, to share that good news with others around us. We're going to do it a little different this morning. We're going to come to this table as family. You'll just come on your own when you are prepared in your heart and you are ready. You will come and you will take of the bread and of the juice, and you will eat it and drink it there at the table with your family, with your friends, with others, and then go back to your seat. So make sure that you're ready. Make sure you're prepared. Don't, you know, we don't have to be standing in lines or whatever. We have three stations for you to do that. It's just an opportunity to begin to open up and be reminded of what Jesus did for us and allow that love to compel us to be on mission for Him. And so this table is open to all those that believe on Him as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I prepare us, after I pray, when you feel your heart is ready, you come and then go back to your seat and continue to pray for those around you. Continue to pray for God to do His work through you or in you. And then we'll close, just worshiping Him and celebrating Him. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He gathered with His disciples, kind of like He's gathering, you know, He's here with us this morning. He gathered with them and he took the bread and He said, listen, this is going to be symbolic of My body that will be broken and beaten for you. And then He took the cup and in the same way He said, this is going to be symbolic of My blood. This, just in a few hours, is going to be shed for you for the forgiveness of the sins of many. So He says, every time you eat of this bread and you drink of this juice, do so in remembrance of Me. And so let's do that this morning as we stand before this Thanksgiving season, thanking Him for what He did for us. Father, thank You that You are here. Holy Spirit, Your presence is in this room. And I just pray You continue to do Your work, that You continue to use Your word, oh God, to empower us to want to live for You in every area of our lives, in our marriage, with our families, at our workplace, on our campuses, to be on mission for you. And so as we come to this table this morning, may it be so special to us, God, because it's reminding us of your love for us through the sacrifice and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we eat of the bread and drink of the juice, remind us of the forgiveness that comes from that sacrifice. Jesus, how through the gift of yourself to us, you forgive us, you redeem us, you reconcile us to be back into right relationship with you. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness, your obedience. Holy Spirit, move us. Guide us, direct us as we come to this table to remember. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.